In today's gospel, the risen Lord appears to Thomas, whose faith is restored. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is a wonderful story told about the Emperor Napoleon, French Emperor Napoleon, toward the end of the 1800s. It seems that a young soldier fell asleep on guard duty. And, of course, when he did that, he endangered the whole encampment. This is the second time he did it. And in that situation, that was punishable by death. So he was condemned to the firing squad. Probably was 18 or 19 years old. So somehow his mother got an audience with Napoleon. She came in, and she begged for her son's life. And Napoleon said to her, "Look, he's done this two times. Justice demands his punishment, his death." Mother said to him, "Your Majesty, I come looking not for justice, but for mercy." Napoleon said, "He does not deserve mercy." And she said to him, "If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." And moved by that, Napoleon commuted his sentence. I think it's a wonderful example, that example of mercy in that story, of what we see today in the gospel. Of course, this is Divine Mercy Sunday. We celebrate the mercy of God in Christ. But in the gospel, I think we see that divine mercy played out. Christ appears to the apostles in the upper room. There they are, cowering in fear. He appears to them. Of course, they're overjoyed. They're amazed. They're overjoyed. But I bet if they were honest with us, they would tell us that there was another emotion that filled them at the same time. I would bet they were also filled with shame. They were ashamed at what they had done. They had abandoned him. They all had run away. Here they were, the people Christ had chosen to be his own. They had witnessed his miracles, witnessed his teaching of the kingdom, shared his love. But at that decisive moment, what had they done? They'd all run away. They abandoned him, left him alone. They must have felt at that moment in the upper room ashamed of themselves, ashamed. Maybe even a little fearful. What would he do? And then Jesus speaks to them that powerful word, peace. Peace be with you. Shalom, the Hebrew word shalom. Peace, he says to them. Now that word shalom does not simply mean the absence of conflict. It's a very rich word that means fullness, completeness, all you need, so to speak. Wishing you all you need. So when Jesus says peace to them, what he's really saying to them is this: I reclaim you as my own. You are mine. Let's put the past behind us. Let's go together into the future. Peace, you are mine. See that great mercy for them in spite of what they did. That great mercy. Now that mercy, of course, he was giving to them could not be earned. They weren't worthy of it. Couldn't be merited in any way. It was a pure gift of the love of God. That mercy. You see, that very same mercy is available to you and me when we need it. That same undeserved mercy is ours when we need it. We all need it at one time or another. I'll offer you just a couple of examples this morning that show us, when we think about it, we're not that different from the apostles. We run away from Christ too. Some of us here this morning, probably, or people we know, chose to put Christ out of their life for a while. They might have had a particular reason for that, might have just fallen into, you know, some kind of a distancing. But at some point, they just pushed Christ away. He wasn't part of their life. But if that was you or me, when we came back, what did we hear from the Lord? When he put that desire in our hearts to come back, what did we hear from him? Peace, you are mine. Others of us maybe have never done that. We've never distanced the Lord from us ourselves completely. But there are times when we run away from him. For example, you're having a conversation with some friends or family, people at work, maybe nice people, good people, sophisticated people, cultured people, but maybe not active Christians. In the course of the conversation, they start talking about religion or talking about the church or whatever, and you know what they're saying is wrong. You know it's wrong. What do you do about it? Do you say to them, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I see things differently? You don't attack them. You don't get angry with them. You just say, I see things differently. And you lay out what you believe. Is that what you do? Or more likely, what we oftentimes do is this. We sit in our tongue. We don't say anything. We don't want to upset anybody. We don't want to be holier than thou. Or maybe we're afraid of being rejected, of being laughed at. So we say nothing. When we do that in that kind of circumstance, are we not running away from Christ? Are we not abandoning him? Or again, another example. There's somebody in your family that you know has made some very bad decisions, hurtful decisions. Maybe they don't see it. Would you correct them? Kindly, gently, charitably? Would you say to them, you know, I know you have to make your own decisions, but I really think you're making a mistake here. I really think you are. Hard to do that. We're afraid, again, of being rejected. But if we don't do that sort of thing, are we not abandoning Christ? One final example. We know the Lord asks us to be good to those who are truly in need, to share of our substance even with those who truly are in need. A cause comes along that we know is a good cause. What do we do about that? Are we as generous as we can be? Or do we sometimes say to ourselves, you know, I don't have that thing that I want. I'm saving up for that thing and I don't have it yet. If I had it, I'd give something here, but I don't have it yet, so no. Doesn't Christ say to us, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And when we don't do that, when we can, are we not running away from Christ? Abandoning him? See, in all those kinds of ways in others, there are times we're all like the apostles. We all turn away from him. But when we turn back, we're always going to hear that word, peace. Peace be with you. You are mine. That wonderful gift of God's mercy, which we all need. I'm reminded of a little story. Some of you might have heard it. I think it was on one of the late night talk shows. I forget which one it was, but it was a little joke somebody told, kind of amusing, about this politician getting ready for an election. He wants to make some posters. He goes to a professional photographer, gets some proofs of his himself made and for the posters. So they come back, the proofs come back. He looks at them. He's appalled. They're awful. He looks terrible. He looks terrible in these proofs. So he goes back to the photographer. He said, these things are awful. These things don't do me justice at all. Photographer says, well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but with your face, what you need is not justice, but mercy. Well, you know, you and I all need mercy, not because of our faces, but because our hearts are always divided. Our hearts are never totally given to God. So we need mercy. But isn't it wonderful to know that in Christ, that mercy is always there for us? And we will always hear from God that word, shalom, peace, you are mine. May God bless you.